Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. We have our final Catholic Fish Smackdown competitor, Holy Trinity from the East Side, is going to be here at East Side. They're going to play dirty. Mm-hmm. Those are my peeps.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to cheat any way they can. So let them. Michael Kelly is here. Why do we love upset so much? Just in life?
Because most of us are the underdog compared to the teams that win all the time.
Do you think that's true, or do you think that's just the picture we paint of ourselves?
I don't know. I mean, like, are we at the top of the food chain?
No, most of us. But what I'm thinking is, like, yes, we're the underdogs if we compare ourselves to the tippy tops. But if we compare ourselves to the people in our lives, we're probably not.
No, we're the mid majors.
Yeah,
you know, we're not the 16 seed, but we're definitely like the 12 seed. Yeah, I think some of it's. I think that's the big thing of it. We like seeing. I mean, look, we always like seeing the ones that win all the time lose occasionally.
Yeah.
Right?
We love
Unless
to
you're
see,
a fan of that. Like, if you're a Kentucky fan, you didn't like that yesterday, but everybody else liked it.
We want to see someone make it.
Yeah.
Then we want to see them crash. And then we want to see them be contrite. And then we want to rally around them as they're rebuilding their lives. Like, there's a real pattern.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, there's a real pattern to what we like and what we don't.
Right.
If you're just successful all the time, people are like, I'm taking you down.
What's wrong with
right?
you?
But in fairness, if you're Tiger Woods and you do what he did and nobody knows you, there's nobody rooting for you.
Right.
No.
Right? I mean, if you're not already a famous, you know, popular person, nobody's like, man, I hope that guy ends up on the better end of what he just did to his family.
So let's do a little bit of politics, since that's the only time we're going to do it with Mike here. I thought this was one of the dumber things Donald Trump has done. And maybe he's crazy like a fox and he really is playing three-dimensional chess. But last night on Truth Social, he posted in a very long, of course, all caps lock posting that he has just under $500 million cash and that he was going to use that for his campaign. And he never comes out and says, but I'm going to go ahead and pay off, you know, this bond, this $464 million. But a part of going to the Court of Appeals, which his lawyers filed pleading saying he does not have it, a part of trying to get relief from them is you can't have it. Once you say you don't have it, you can't secretly have it. So when you file documents, his lawyers are swearing to the veracity of it every time you file something, saying we don't have it, and then you go post something on your personal Twitter, you know, Truth, that you do have it, it puts you in a weird position.
I get you.
I guarantee you he's not going to have it again.
Right.
Right?
Well, because he never has it. I mean, it's just, it's all, Donald Trump is all about the moment that he's living in. You know, everything is a choice right then. I don't think there's some grand plan. I think he's just all about surviving and grinding. And I really don't like what's happening, the fact that we're going after a former president. But at the same time, I relish it. I love it. From a political standpoint, I'm like, what are we doing, man? This is a slippery slope. But from living through this man for the last 5 or 6 years, I'm like, good, get him for more.
A new CNN poll was asked Republicans this question. If true, to what degree would it bother you that Donald Trump is fit for office or not fit for office about the January 6th and that he lied about the election, that whole thing? And 44% said that it would be disqualifying, and 42% said it wouldn't matter at all. So the Republican Party seems to be evenly split down the middle what January 6th means to them.
Right. And right now, though, the only hope that I think most Democrats have with President Biden continuing to poll lower and lower is that those Trump, anti-Trump folks, folks who can't embrace or can't rationalize in their own head the way that some of these sycophants have what January 6th is, that they either don't vote or they go out and vote for Joe Biden. This is a scary little election we got coming up. I ran into a guy this week who walked up to me and he says, you know what it was about for with Trump for me and why I'm going to be with him again this time is he shook things up. I said, well, what does that mean? And he goes, the fact that you loathe him the way that you do, he shook things up. And that's what I think needs to happen. Like there was no thought process behind it other than maybe why I liked watching Kentucky get beat last night. It shook things up. It was chaos. It was actually, I mean, I was rooting against Kentucky. I could care less. But for those 5 minutes, I was all in for the little guy. Hey, let's just shake things up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the logic that's going on behind this Trump stuff.
I think you're probably right.
I think it's sad because I do think that there are a lot of people who are like, I only care about owning the libs. Like, that's the only thing. As long as you're owning the libs, we're doing a good job. No matter if it goes against, like, my actual morals and values or things that I've held dear. And I think there's a similar thing on the left where it's like, as long as we are... as long as we're resisting and as long as we're sticking it to Trump, it's just really sad that our society has gotten to this place where as long as you're making the other side upset, you're succeeding. And then there is everyone in the middle going, I hate this chaos and I don't want it to happen.
You know, my big thing is this. Last night I'm going down Highway 40 and I am merging like we do every day. Wheels heading west on Highway 40. And everyone who drives has had this experience where it's like, well, whose responsibility is this to make sure the merge goes well? And if you're the one on the highway, you think it's the merger. And if you're the merger, you think the a-hole that won't get out of your way on the highway, it's their fault. But when you think about it, you have 50-50 buy-in. Because if you're, whatever position you're in, if you think it's the other guy's responsibility to make sure this goes well and he runs into your car, you're still just as screwed.
Yes.
You still have to call the cops. You're still going to be home late. You still have to go get a rental car. You're still going to have to go get your car fixed. And that's the way I've always viewed politics, is that as much as I may feel I'm in the right of way on something, I still have to deal with these people. And it's still, to me, a shared experience we have of this country. And I don't root. I really don't. I don't root for political people who have a different political persuasion to me to suffer. You know what I'm getting,
right.
Is that no matter who's in the right of way, you're both just as much in a car accident. And right now the country feels like a car accident in slow motion, and I don't know why we don't care more about the shared experience.
Yeah, and the idea that shaking things up is the point. No, it's not. The point is making things better.
And more reliable.
And like today, just a little while ago, one of the top trends on Twitter was shut the government down. Do you know how many people that hurts when that happens? Do you know how many government employees who, by the way, many of whom vote Republican, right? They don't all vote one way, are going to lose their pay for however long that takes. Now, there will be essential employees that will get paid, but there will be people. Remember the last time it happened was at 18-19?
Yeah.
TSA people were not getting paid. They were working without pay. Should they have to work without getting paid? If you can find a solution to fix problems that doesn't cause your fellow human beings to have to go without their paycheck and to have to go without benefits because it has impact on Social Security, it has impact on Medicare, it has all these things. Nobody cares about that because it doesn't affect them.
So I understand that at least Marjorie Taylor Greene has turned against Mike Johnson, if not a few others now.
All it takes is one person, right?
Yep. And she has filed the motion. I don't know how it will be received. Obviously, the Democrats will vote to throw the speaker out, as they should. That's their job the opposition. And they've got two votes that they can spare. So if she's got...
So we're doing it again?
Yeah.
I mean, if it continues, yes.
And what's your beef?
Attention.
Because they passed the bill today. They passed the spending bill today.
Which is the biggest fraudulent thing in
the
world.
House, yeah.
I mean, if you are carrying the Donald Trump agenda, which I think is what Marjorie Taylor Greene says she's emblematic of, Donald Trump is responsible for one quarter of this country's deficit for our entire world, for the entire time we've existed. So to make this argument that this is about spending and spending and spending, we've heard this from you before. And so now you're going to do this to your own party from a Democratic perspective. It's kind of fun to watch you guys because I think it's hurting ultimately the Republican thing. As an American, this is silly. This is stupid what we're doing. And it's hard to participate in. This wasn't the politics I got involved in.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break so we can have a little extra time on the other side. DGS and KMOX, just a minute. Here I am. 320 DGS. Fast food news?
Yeah, this music coming into it is so ominous.
It's really setting the mood.
Now, we have a good fast food news today because thetakeout.com did a look back at KFC's weirdest menu items, and I thought, well, this is perfect for the DGS. We're always eating at KFC and experimenting with their latest menu items. So it starts with all the way back in 2010, the KFC Double Down, which Andrew was talking about on the show the other day, which is, of course, two fried boneless chicken breasts with Monterey Jack cheese and bacon in the middle. So that was, I remember when that came out and thinking like, oh, how much kookier could they possibly get? And then they went on to get even weirder. In 2019, they did a collaboration with Cheetos. Does anyone remember this?
Kind of.
It was a chicken filet coated in a special Cheetos sauce on a toasted bun with mayo and a layer of Cheetos.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel drunk.
Michael. Michael's upset.
Ugh, he's struggling.
Nasty.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me either. I like Cheetos. I like KFC, but let's not cross those two.
No, Cheetos needs to be Taco Bell exclusive. That's Doritos. Doritos. Sorry, that's Doritos. Doritos. Same thing.
You fool.
I like
you
them clawed. Both.
Also in 2019, they did the Kentucky Fried Chicken and Donuts sandwich.
I don't remember that.
Oh,
remember
that actually sounds good.
That was a regional.
That's like chicken and waffles kind of thing.
I think
thing.
That might have been a regional thing because I remember learning about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, seeking it out.
I know lots of ballparks have, like, the Krispy Kreme burger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It sounds better with chicken than a burger.
It does. Because of the chicken waffle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2020, they released the Kentaco. Did you ever have this, Andrew?
No, I didn't know this one.
Okay, so this was a basically a boneless chicken breast, and they would fold it into a taco and then fill it with taco fillings. And then the latest creation, of course, is the KFC Cheetza, which is a chicken pizza. So,
Michael, what's your
go-to
guilty pleasure? Like when you eat badly?
I would eat the Chick-fil-A. I like that. And Jenny's ice cream. Have you had Jenny's ice cream?
Yeah.
In the West End.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, how's this any different than any regular ice cream? And then you read the calories later and you're like, what did they do? Just like, how do you make it that much calories in there? It was so good, though.
Are you a pretty healthy eater in general?
I try to be, but I'm not a big red meat eater.
Okay. Yeah, you were saying that last week. Off
living close to a grocery store is the best thing in the world for me. So, like, I don't have food in the refrigerator. So that way I don't go munching during the day. And so almost every meal I'll go over and cook or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Would you eat a Cheetza?
No. I don't think I'd go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, period.
Well,
we've got one downstairs.
We got Amy here.
Yeah, way to.
Well, some of my buddies.
Way to shame us, Michael.
Mr. Superior.
Amy was shaming us.
My buddy worked there when we were in high school, and I just remember, like, you'd pick him up the next day in a car, and he just
still smell like chicken?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, you stink.
I don't
does he not take showers?
I don't want fried chicken covered in pepperonis.
Because my friend smelled 25 years ago.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
I'll tell you what, the best fast food is not in St. Louis. It's called In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah. Sure.
Their fries are very mid, though.
Really? Oh,
come
on.
Yeah, the burgers are awesome.
They do them right there.
I'm surprised we don't have one the way that Shake Shack took off.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever had Cookout in here?
Yes.
Oh.
Cookout is the best.
Cookout's pretty incredible. It's, like Tennessee, kind of Georgia, like a little down south, a little farther down south chain.
Yep.
Ooh, and I like the Crystal Burger.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
Similar to Crystal's, but it's like they feed you everything on tray, like cafeteria trays, which is fun.
When you order your meal, right? Your meal, like say you get a cheeseburger, you can have a side dish of a quesadilla or hush puppies.
You know,
it's so good.
We have been loosely planning a Bigfoot hunt for the spring. What if we did it in Kansas City barbecue joints?
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Maybe he's there.
See if he's there?
I think he hangs out there.
Yeah.
Go to Gates, go to Rendezvous Ribs.
He's been sighted. He hops from one to the other, so we'd have to hit them all.
I heard that he hangs out at Joe's Crab Shack in Miami.
We better go there, too.
That's where I would be going.
Couple more fast food stories here. Pizza Hut is offering a $9.99 large one-topping pizza deal. You can order takeout or delivery, but that's a pretty good deal. I mean, in the year of our Lord 2024, $9.99 for one-topping large pizza. And one more deal here. McDonald's has a secret dinner box with discounted menu items. They are admitting to this after a mom's dinner hack went viral. This woman posted a video saying that she got 2 cheeseburgers, 4 small fries, a 10-piece chicken McNugget, 2 Big Macs, and sausage in a yellow and white striped box similar to the chain's Happy Meal boxes, and she only paid $12 for it. This is something that is off menu. You won't find it on the menu at McDonald's, and prices do vary, but it is something that is available at some locations.
What do you call it?
They are just calling it the Family McDonald's Dinner Box.
That's already what I call McDonald's.
You're going to test that tonight?
The end of the list there, you just said, and sausage?
Sauces.
Oh, sauces. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Was that going to be a determining factor for you?
Like they just dropped a sausage on top. And
That was like a bridge too far.
I don't know. Now it's...
are you people monsters?
Did you say $11?
It's $12 where she was getting it. She's getting it in Texas. Now, they do say that prices vary across the country, and it's only at certain locations. So it's worth a shot. It's very similar to the McDonald's birthday cake that went viral a few years ago. I think that was only $8. And, yeah, you get a sheet cake with Ronald McDonald on it. It's not available everywhere, but it's
so
worth a try.
To have Michael's high school friends back when I worked at Mr. Donut, it was like getting sprayed by a skunk every day. Like, you could take tomato baths. It didn't matter. You smelled like a donut 24/7.
Yeah, but that's a sweet smell. Did you smell like glazed honey or what? It was
pretty much.
When I worked at Woody's, I had to have dedicated, like, top to bottom dedicated work clothes because it just...
Because the fried
chicken. Yeah, the fried chicken smell is just, it doesn't leave.
So I worked at a restaurant when I was a kid in St. Charles. Pio's, it's still there. Great pizza, one of my favorite pizza places. But that was back when you could smoke. And people would smoke in restaurants. Think about that. And I remember I would have to go home every night and change my clothes, wash them, and then,
I remember, I'm old enough to remember when people smoked on airplanes.
Oof. That's nuts.
Can't even imagine
that. Was insane.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And I won't deny. Happy Friday, 3:35 DGS. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Changeable weekend, or are we going to moderate a bit?
Yeah, here we go again. It's up and down. We're kind of in this borderline of a very strong jet stream across the northern U.S. and a stuck low-pressure system over the southwest. Both of those are starting to make some moves, and what it will do is sending another cold front our way. It should probably come through early evening. Winds will turn to the northwest. There's still a chance of a spot evening shower, but again, really downplaying that. If you were to get one, it would not last very long. 35 for the low. So tomorrow with the northwest wind, it's a chilly day. It's a good 15 degrees colder than today. Partly to mostly sunny skies, though, and it's quite windy, 52. Lots of clouds move back in Saturday night, 35. Then on Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy skies. The wind's picking up more from the southeast on Sunday, so it's about 10 degrees warmer, 62 degrees. Then what's going to happen is the cold air from the north starts to get a little bit closer, and that low-pressure system over the southwest starts to lift off into the middle of the country. It's going to cut to our west, and will work its way mainly across Kansas City up into Iowa. But what that will do is set us up for periods of rain late Sunday night, Monday night, and into early Tuesday. There will be some thunder around, but this is not a severe weather outbreak by any means. Hopefully, it's a fairly decent rain for the St. Louis area, 62 on Monday. Then once that passes, the colder air will come in. It's not crazy cold. That's going to stay to our north and northeast. But we will be below average Tuesday night and Wednesday. We're probably looking at nighttime temperatures in the mid to upper 20s and daytime highs right around 50 degrees. The real big stuff is going to be snow. You're going to hear about a major snowstorm across the Great Lakes and the Northeast as we go through the next couple of days. But as I like to say for folks who live in New York and Boston, it's good for you.
Yikes. Headlines, Rich?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. So the Summer Olympics in Paris opening ceremony will be showed in IMAX theaters in more than 150 theaters across the United States on July 26th.
Hmm.
Yes.
I just see that as a bust.
Yeah, I'm not big on that. I mean, I used to love the Olympics when I was a kid. And I guess, you know, you grow up and you just don't love stuff as much. I'm not an opening ceremony guy.
I think the opening ceremony is cool, but I'm with you guys. I don't get why I would go to an IMAX theater to see that happen if I could watch it on my big TV at home on my couch.
Yeah.
I may try to get back into it. I used to love it. I mean, but then again, I grew up with like the Bruce Jenner decathlon and things like that. That was, you know, it was special.
It was a bigger deal.
The Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Carl Lewis. And I'm sure it's like everything else. You think, you know, oh, the music was better. The Olympics were better. But it's like prize fighting. They used to have the heavyweight prize fighting on Saturday nights. Remember that, Dave?
Yeah. Like,
that was huge deal.
Yeah. I don't think it was like, I don't think that it's like back in my day thing. I think we just had less to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a good point.
You know,
that's a good point.
I'm thinking back to my kid, you know, when I'm a kid in the late 70s and 80s, like, what other stuff's on?
No, you'd have given me Netflix back then. I'm probably not watching the Olympics.
Right. And even as a sports fan, like back then, maybe 20% of games were on TV.
Yeah.
Maybe.
True.
Swing state voters are not feeling a Biden-Trump rematch in a surprise to no one. A CNN poll of voters in Michigan and Pennsylvania found that more than half of them were dissatisfied with the choice of Biden versus Trump in November. While most voters say they've already made up their mind on who to vote for, about 25% said they're open to changing their mind.
Yeah.
25%, that's a bigger number than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I pulled this story just because I thought it was funny. The headline was funny. Trump shops at Target. So earlier this year, or last year, I should say, conservatives were calling for a boycott of Target because of their LGBTQ plus pride collection, you know, the swimsuits and such. We all remember that story. And I remember saying at the time, I don't think this is going to work like a Bud Light boycott is going to work, because Target is just so easy. And if you shop there, I highly doubt that many people are going to change their habits. Yeah. And it's, for the most part, I think I was right, including the Trump campaign. They love Target. They've spent about $3,000 at Target since last year on office supplies, office equipment, and food. So they're still shopping at Target.
Here's a thought I've never had.
He's just like me, for real.
Donald Trump was a lifelong Democrat. I mean, he gave money to both sides, but he was always pretty much of a liberal. Had he been able to win as a Democrat, do you think we would have had all this that we've had? Or do you feel me? Like, now it's so impossible to think about because he's so ultra MAGA. But had he ran as a Democrat and won, do you feel like it would have been this dramatic?
Well, I feel like his rhetoric would have had to have been completely different in the opposite direction. So,
but you think he would have had just as strong of rhetoric?
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's a great question.
I mean, he is really good at getting what he wants, right?
Yes.
I mean,
undoubtedly.
I think his life shows that, right?
Yes.
And he knows what it takes to do that in a given moment.
True.
So if it was that way, I bet he'd be able to do it.
I don't think he would have had as much success running as a Democrat. I think that if he would have had that success, he would have ran as one. Because like you said, he was a lifelong Democrat. And then it was like,
he could have taken on Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. And I also think that he saw that there was kind of a hole in the market when it came to Republicans, and they were looking for this type of figure.
You're right.
And he could be that figure. So.
And he was so right. Like, he couldn't have just known that. No one's that smart, because there had never been a him, right? It's not like you are a running quarterback and you're playing on a team that has a dropback quarterback, but he's not very good. You know, he couldn't have been that smart to say, you know what they need is a really, really extreme right-wing populist. He just was himself, and it just worked out in the post-Obama years. You know, people were just pissed, and they're like, yeah, this guy seems insane. Let's do this.
U.S. life expectancy is rising. In 2022, life expectancy was 77.5 years, going up by 1.1 years and marking the first time the metric has risen since 2019. I'm assuming that is pandemic related.
See, I get so confused by this. When they say that the average male lifespan is 77 years or 78 years, I've never understood, Dave, maybe you know, are you taking into account like babies that die and all that kind of thing? Are you saying that the average person that dies in old age dies at 78? I've never understood that.
I don't know. I hear that number and I I kind of freak a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it shuts you down.
No, I don't want it to stop that soon.
I think it does take into account the age that everyone is dying, and it averages
because
it out.
It must, right?
Because that's not really a fair, to me, as someone who's getting dangerously close, it's not that fair of a reflection. Like, what I want to know is when someone dies of quote-unquote old age, how old are they? You know, if someone dies of cancer at 40, that's tragic, but don't put it into the average.
Right.
Yeah.
And my final story here, Joe Rogan's podcast numbers are massive. Would anyone like to take a guess at how many Spotify followers he has? I'll give you a hint. It's about three times as many as anyone else on the platform.
Do we believe it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe it.
Why do you think they're making it up?
Just because people seem to make up things like that.
Also,
when they're
paying
really,
him a lot
really
of money.
Huge, and I just don't think it's that good.
Well, he has, people are saying, he has 14.5 million Spotify followers. That's not nearly as many as he has on YouTube. He has 16.4 million. I just don't know how you
would
inflate those numbers.
But does that, like, if I have Spotify and I, you know what, I've heard about this podcast or whatever you call it, and I checked it out. Does that add to that 14.5 million and I never go back to it again?
I mean, I'm sure you could follow him and then never actually listen, but it's measuring followers, like kind of like Twitter followers or
right.
Instagram
that's,
followers.
That's the question, that's is how I'm many people of. Actually listen to the episodes?
Because I always think of when you guys talk about someone's Twitter is fake. Like, oh, that's a bunch of bots. It's a bunch of this. I wonder if you can do that with podcasts as well. I mean, we do.
Yeah. Don't let them in on the secret, Dave. So, Come on now.
Just saying, Joe. Thank you, Dave. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
I got to love these. 6% of Americans and 23% of men think what? Any guesses? That they can, quote unquote, beat up a grizzly bear.
Oh, come on.
Not survive. Beat up.
Good luck.
Tune him up.
Dude. I want to know how many of these guys were inebriated whenever they were asked this question.
23% of men.
Yeah.
6% overall.
One in five of you guys think you can beat up a grizzly bear.
There's this guy who's one of those world's strongest men. I'm forgetting his name. But he's six foot eight, and he is 400 pounds.
It's a big man.
And somebody was asking him in a podcast, like, do you think a professional fighter could take you? And he's like, somebody's like, Conor McGregor's an elite fighter. And the guy's like, he doesn't weigh anything. Like, he could barely reach my face. How's he going to kick my ass? And he said, if it's a street fight, if it's a rules fight, you know, you got to fight by the rules.
Right.
But like, that guy can't take a grizzly bear.
Right.
That guy lifts the heaviest things in the world more than anybody else can. And he weighs 400 pounds and a grizzly would just blow right through him.
A woman was running late for a funeral. They offered a Zoom version, so she decided to watch it on Zoom. She didn't realize that her camera was on, and she was in the shower watching it.
Oh.
And she found out when she showed up later to the wake.
Oh.
Everybody saw her.
Oh.
They could have said something like during the service as far as you're nude.
Also, the administrator could like shut that one down.
If you're the administrator, are you shutting it down?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm guessing
Dave's unless she's
not.
A terrible human, and then maybe not. No, I'm kidding. I would.
A new report says that restaurants are beginning to charge a non-refundable deposit when you make a reservation of up to $100.
Not going to your restaurant.
I have seen, man, there was something viral that was going around a couple weeks ago where someone had made a reservation, they paid the deposit, and then they canceled, but they were able to get their deposit back. I think this happened at a restaurant in Boston, and the restaurant owners tracked them down on social media and sent them like the meanest, nastiest DM that was like six paragraphs long. So then the people who canceled like posted it, and it was a whole thing. It's just the amount of drama that goes... I didn't really pick a side in this situation. I don't think it's appropriate to track people down on social media and send them mean things.
Agreed.
If you're a business. I just think you're taking a huge risk when you do stuff like that. And yeah, they were caught up in that risk. They got posted and people were really mad at the restaurant after that.
Did they not seat the table?
It was the kind of thing where they had paid a deposit, like Dave said, but they were able to get out of it and get their money back. But for some reason, the restaurant, they were using like OpenTable or something, like one of those third party apps. The restaurant got really mad. And sorry, I shouldn't have even told the story because it's not that interesting.
Rachel, no, it is. It's ridiculous.
We only have like a minute left, but I want to know your take on whether kids should be on television.
Oh, this is a huge debate that's going on right now because I don't know if you guys are keeping up with everything that's happening with Nickelodeon.
Oh, boy.
Very sad stuff. There was a show called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, which I saw a couple episodes of when I was a youngin'. And they have those kids now have a podcast, and they were saying, like, through tears that they just feel like this is as good a reason of as any as to why kids just shouldn't be on TV.
They
shouldn't
consent.
Be on in movies. The amount of time they're spending away from their parents in the guidance of these compromised adults is just too scary, and it's too much. And they're calling for people to stop watching shows that
it
have
almost
kids in
them, always basically. Goes bad.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. It's very sickening when you read the details of everything that this producer is being accused of.
That, I mean, that's a problem. Kids should be able to be on television. Kids should be able to go to Boy Scouts. Kids should be able to be with the priest alone. It's not the kids.
Yeah.
It's not the institution. It's the people who have bad designs towards kids, and they intentionally go into the kind of work that'll put them next to kids.
Yeah.
That's a problem.